Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you were young, there was always one kid that our parents were not so sure that we ought to be hanging around with. And I can tell you the name of the kid that my parents were thinking of. And the second service, they'll hear this sermon and they'll know exactly the kid. And I won't mention his name because this is digital now and there's a chance that he may hear it. But anyhow, and they had good reason to be leery of that friend of mine. You can hear your parents now. We're not so sure about you hanging out with that child. We're beginning to think that this kid is having a bad influence on you. And your parents were usually right. What our parents were concerned about was partially that we would be caught up in some nefarious activity that the other kid was doing, and we would be pulled in with it, though it would be their fault, sweet, innocent you. You would have to take the fall along with them. But more of a concern was that you would want to imitate that kid. You would start to become like that kid. You would get into your own trouble of their kind. And of course, some of you probably were that kid that the other parents were concerned about. In your prayer books, the epistle reading for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity, there's a short passage from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is a man, a kid, who got into a lot of trouble. He was chased out of many towns, nearly stoned to death, arrested many times. Do you wonder sometimes what St. Paul's parents thought about him in their home in Tarsus? They would get a message that their son had been arrested again. And you can just hear his mother's sigh. St. Paul writes to the Philippians, though. And when he writes to the Philippians, he writes from either one of two possible places. He was either in a filthy prison in Caesarea, or he was in Rome, where he was being kept under house arrest. And what are the words of advice that he gives for his fledgling parish in the town of Philippi? But, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Imitate me, he writes, from a prison. And this letter was read aloud to the members of the church at Philippi, and you can imagine the parents of the youth at Philippi thinking in their minds, no. Don't imitate him. Get a nice job. Be married. Have kids. Settle down somewhere. Much the same as we desire for our own kids today. It's not unreasonable to believe that in the first century, the recipients of that letter to Philippi had the same thought about their own families. And then St. Paul traces something that he says over and over to his church at Philippi. A very strange statement that we sometimes read over quickly. Be imitators of me, yes, the one who's always in trouble, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The enemies of the cross of Christ. And you've got to stop there for a moment. Naturally, you're an enemy of something that's meant to harm you, to end your life. We're looking to be saved, after all. But this is not the cross of an enemy like the Romans. This is the cross of Christ. The same Christ who said, whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall preserve it. So what does it mean to be an enemy of the cross of Christ? St. Paul has something to say about those for whom he weeps, who are enemies of the cross. He says they're like this. The enemies of the cross of Christ are those whose God is their belly. Now, God is one who gives you a purpose for your daily life. Whomever your God is, it's the reason you get up in the morning. If your God is your belly, you could say that the only thing that mattered to you is that not a moment would pass when you did not satisfy your desire to the full. The enemies of the cross of Christ know nothing of self-denial and pursue with vigor the pleasure of their appetites in searching for fullness. The enemies of the cross of Christ substitute full bellies for spiritual fullness. The enemies of the cross of Christ are those whose glory is in their shame. I used to work at a camp for troubled teenagers where when we would get a new teenager in order to impress the other teenagers, they would tell their glory story, we would call it. And it was a story about how much trouble they got in, what a bad kid they were, and how none of the things you did were anything close to the stuff I've done. We call that their glory story. The concept of glory, though, is similar to the concept of weight or substance. And so you think of what you mean when you say something was glorious. You mean that it was so real and so perfect, so awesome that it was glorious. Now, all true glory belongs to God and whatever he decides to give glory to on this earth. But those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, their glory is in their shame, their nothingness. Their glory is in the things they got away with, those stories they love to tell, the wildness and rebellion that went unchecked. The enemies of the cross of Christ mind earthly things, St. Paul says. Of course, it's impossible to exist in this world without minding earthly things to one degree or another. St. Paul is not saying that you shouldn't mow the grass or take your medicine. What he means is that those who mind only earthly things, who have absolutely no sense that there is something or someone greater than themselves, they mind earthly things in an idolatrous way, in place of God. They have put earthly worries and concerns. He says the end of these enemies of the cross of Christ is destruction. From prison, St. Paul writes, even weeping, not for himself, that there exist people in his churches, in the communities that he's tried to reach with the gospel of Christ, who may look very stable and well-balanced, who have everything they need and whose lives are full to the brim with everything their hearts desire. They're not in prison. They're not in a halfway house. Their parents can be proud. But nevertheless, they have absolutely no knowledge of God, no knowledge of the meaning of the cross of Christ, and they are indeed enemies of the cross of Christ. Do not be imitators of them, be imitators of me, he says, from prison or house arrest. For our citizenship, the place where we belong and our end, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed into the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself. That's a true glory. That's not a glory story about what you got away with or how bragging how contradictory your life is and how exceptionally full our bellies are and with what great skill we have learned to please ourselves so that every ounce of our desire is met. Rather, this is the glory, that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this one whose cross we are not enemies of, this one shall change the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed into the body of his glory. St. Paul says, imitate me because I imitate him. Follow us to crucifixion. Do not be an enemy of the cross of Christ. In the same letter to the Philippians, St. Paul describes why. He describes the first who changed from humiliation to glory, who says, follow me, Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven or things in earth, or things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's why you should not be an enemy of the cross of Christ. We are not citizens of this world primarily. We are citizens of heaven. And we are not to be enemies of that cross of Christ, but partakers with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.